welcome to the first ChannelBuzz.ca podcast of 2015. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for this show. Usually, we kick off the year with our New Year's review and prediction series, and we'll be doing that this year, too. But this year, we're getting things off with this episode and sharing with you three big interviews. First of all, we go live via tape to New York City, where HP this week held a big mobile products launch. We chat there with Michael Park, general manager of mobility at HP, and Chris Moyer, Chief Technology Officer for HP Enterprise Services, to discuss where HP sees opportunities for its channel partners in its mobile devices and increasingly in providing a range of mobility-focused services to and through partners. Then we're joined by Pete Rozonka, Vice President and General Manager of Avnet Technology Solutions, a Cisco business in the Americas. Avnet and Cisco recently celebrated 5 years of partnership, and Pete joins us to discuss where the relationship has been, and perhaps more interesting to Cisco and Avnet partners, where the relationship is going in the future. And keeping on the Cisco tip, we round things out with an interview with Rick Heibrechts, a familiar face to the channel from Cisco Canada, who's been the networking vendor's champion for connected real estates for years, and more recently has moved into being an Internet of Things leader at Cisco as connected real estate has morphed into a broader story. Rick takes us through what's been a busy year in the development of the Internet of Things, or Internet of Everything in Cisco parlance, in the channel, and gives us some hints on where he sees things going for the channel in the near future. It's going to be a busy show, as you can tell, so let's get right down to it. Hi, and welcome to New York, where we are at an HP event outlining some of their new mobile products. I'm joined now by Michael Park and Chris Moyer, who respectively head up mobility for products and for services. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time.
Great to be here. Absolutely great to be here.
Michael, perhaps we could start with you and just get a little bit of we heard some of the details around the strategy for business first mobile. Can you take us through that a little bit, and especially how you see that impacting your channel partners?
Sure. I mean, we look at the market and we look at what's going on in mobility. We really see that the business itself is sort of mobility has sort of come in through BYOD. A lot of the challenges people are trying to deal with today is how to contend with consumer devices coming in. But when you look forward in how that's actually going to play out, we think that that's reaching late stages of maturity. And really, similar to how the Internet transformed client-server computing, Internet started first with consumers, and then you saw e-commerce come in, change workflows, and it was a massive transformation that was great for the channel because there's all this business generated. We think that mobility is about to go through the same thing because beyond just like a consumer device where people use it as a companion for email, workloads are going to change because mobility is transforming the application itself in where and how people work. And because of that, we think that there's this whole play coming around commercial workloads and mobility that we're going to optimize devices, services, and software for, depending on whether it's an enterprise or an SMB. As I was talking about in the keynote, in the enterprise, you know, Chris and his group, you know, they really take care of the transformative, heavy-duty, complex, you know, mission-critical enterprise services from the application all the way to the device. In the SMB, where we've had traditionally relied on resellers, we actually have to help the resellers by prepackaging solutions above the box. So beyond just the device itself, making the right set of accessories and jackets, providing touchpoint manager as a control point that partners can use to actually manage multiple customers at scale, so that they can provide more out-of-the-box, complete mobility solutions for their customers. We think there's a huge value proposition in this that goes so much further beyond just helping to secure a consumer device.
You touch on Touchpoint, which, as I understand, is sort of a cloud-based MDM and more kind of package for managing a variety of mobile devices in the SMB environment. This is a space where a lot of partners over the last few years have kind of developed their own or rolled their own solutions, cobbled it together of multiple vendors. What's the value prop for me as a partner to get my customers signed up on Touchpoint as opposed to continuing down whichever road I may be on today?
A couple of things. One is, you know, we designed the strategy for scale, so we'll continue to invest in the back-end services architecture of what Touchpoint is, and we'll do it in such a way that the partners that actually participate on Touchpoint gain the advantage of all the investments we make without having to make their own investments. We're very focused on a through-partner play, so the first thing we did in the product we launched in December was actually focused it on the end-user experience because we had to get that right. But as we advance the functional scope moving forward this calendar year, towards the end of the year, you'll see things like partner portals come out that allow a partner to come in and basically manage multiple customers in the service. And over time, what we expect is that partners will be able to build value-added services above the base product and the pro product that actually can add value around where they're going, whether it be geographic or vertical. They can add value-added services like backup and recovery or storage around it. So while a lot of SMBs are trying to string that together today, they're doing it with multiple packages, and they're going to have to take the expense of keeping all that integrated. And what we're saying and proposing is, hey, there's a better way to do this. And we have, you know, a strong reseller channel, so our job is to make sure that we sort of take the pain out of how to manage to that world. So today, Touchpoint Manager channel will get advisory fees for just activating the service. But that's sort of tough because as a reseller, you're used to moving boxes and getting the fee up front. In the future, we're working on capability that skews the service. So when they're moving the box, they can actually attach a 1 or a 3 year subscription to it and get paid that full amount up front. And we think that that model is really going to hunt because we're actually, as HP, using the HP brand to go out with the vertical messages, building hardware that's really specifically meant for these workloads, pre-integrating some of the services to make it easier for both the customer and the partner. And what makes it good for the partner is making it easier doesn't necessarily mean we're taking money away from them. It means we're giving more opportunity for them to expand because they spend less time maintaining the spaghetti, more time actually innovating. And I think that's a big part of how we plan to really help move with the channel. We've had a long history with channel. We'll always be channel friendly in that respect, in the depth and the breadth at which we actually work with our channel. And a lot of this strategy, particularly in SMB, we can't win without channel. You know, if they win, we win. If they lose, we lose.
It sounds like there's a couple of models there. There's the kind of attach model with the device. And for those who are in more of a managed services mode, it sounds like as you get that dashboard set up and kind of get it better set up for multi-tenancy, there would be that kind of mode and model as well.
Yes. Over time, we'll be having capability that sort of provides that. The key difference being, you know, we won't ever – the reason we'll be able to do that is the investments we're going to direct is focused on the SMB. So we really don't plan to take a Touchpoint Manager and build it all the way up into the enterprise and support the complexity of, you know, 20 years of group policy management and Active Directory. That's the kind of service that Chris builds in Enterprise Services Group. We're trying to sort of keep it dead simple, bring the knowledge of enterprise security that Chris actually does every day into the service itself so that partners and the respective SMB customers get the benefit of that through an easy-to-use service.
Chris, from your perspective with ES, how are the engagements you're having with enterprise customers around mobility evolving, and what's kind of the what's the big topic today for your for the services you're bringing to bear?
I think our customers are looking for time to value. They want business outcomes as quick as possible. So it's not about the device. It's not just about the application. It's not just about the operating system. It's the support structures, the transformation projects. So I think our enterprise clients are really taking that they started out with a few apps and mobilized them. Now they're really looking at core workflows, and they want an integrator that can take that end-to-end and tie the mobile app, the mobile device, the mobile management to the back-end systems where their sources of truth are. Those are the business information sources that need to be exposed and actively protected at the edge of that mobile environment. That's what we're spending a lot of our time on.
And that's getting into higher value stuff for both yourselves and partners.
I think it is. It's driving more value to the client. It's bringing the partner technology into the play. It's also the enterprise, the CIO, has a set of projects that they want to get done, and they don't always have all the skills. They need to be able to tap into a broad depth of application development, mobile device management, support services. So when a help desk agent gets a call and it's a new device they've never seen before, they're already pre-trained and ready to go.
How are you engaging with partners today? What does the typical engagement between HPES and a VAR or MSP-type partner look like?
So it looks like today, on a given client, you could have everything from providing the product to doing some of the end support. We use a channel partnering approach differently than what Michael would use in the HP Inc. side. It would be much more around an ongoing service and support model that would be pretty deeply embedded into the business processes that we have and that we run for our clients. But pretty across the globe, higher and higher number of those partners showing up from everything from extending our supply chain so that we can get product quicker and faster from them sometimes than we can from a manufacturer, and also the support side of that. How do I get it out, get it installed, get it up and running quick? Or if it doesn't work well, how do I use the existing SMB and channel market, which is, you know, put into a specific geopolitical location? We want to take advantage of that.
What do you see as cutting or bleeding edge? You know, what's sort of next in terms of where your customers are asking you to take your services?
I think the services model is down to enable more people in my organization to have mobile information access. You saw it today in the launch. We want to bring information to a much broader set of users. We did the knowledge workers. We've done the office workers. We need to get outside of the office. There are industries that are desperate for having a secured information base so that people get to the right information at the right time to make the right decisions. And they do that on a platform that works every day.
Great. Michael, we saw eight products introduced today over a course of different areas. Don't really have time to go through all of them, but just in terms of highlights for the partner community, you know, what should partners really be taking a look at in terms of these eight new tablets, convertibles, and other devices rolled out today?
I'll cover them all quickly because we love all our children. The first is a PC replacement. So the X2 Elite is a detachable. That's a great product. You know, that's really designed for the traveling productivity worker and executive, and all that optionality you saw in the travel base to give 10 and a half hours of battery life and a full functioning keyboard, unlike others that are out there. The travel dock base, which is the second one that's lighter weight, doesn't have the second battery for optionality. You know, the wireless dock on the joint collaboration with Intel is awesome. You know, the wireless docking is an attach opportunity for partners, right? So it's a much higher margin business that you should be selling when you're selling the product, all these different attaches, because they margin expand the business opportunity for our partners. The commercial Android products, particularly in SMB, I think are going to be hot. The new pen technology that we worked on with Qualcomm is first in the market. It's something to really talk about. Every time we show it to customers, they just love it. It's an exciting proposition because you can sort of create content on the tablet with no handwriting rejection issues, as well as write on pen and capture that on the device itself. And then the vertical stuff is, and the value tablets we have. So the Pro Tablet 408, you know, is really designed to be a value play. I mean, the value play is largely dominated by the Android consumer ecosystem today. So we tried to create a value product with Microsoft that says, hey, we're here for commercial, we'll build for commercial, we want to be the Cadillac or the BMW of the value space. We're excited about what that presents for the value-conscious buyer. And then the vertical jackets are just awesome, right? You saw the healthcare jacket. I mean, any scenario where you're in a hospital, you should just show it because it lights up the dialogue, you know. You might actually end up selling printers from that thing. I mean, it's just amazing because the dialogue can go anywhere. Rugged as well, particularly up in Canada. And there's so much work that happens out of the office in Canada in construction and agriculture and timber, everything, oil and gas. So I think that's a huge opportunity around specifically for Canada. And then, you know, education, we're just so excited because we're the first in the market with a grounds-up design that's built on education needs for the students, but actually built to be easily manageable for commercial IT. And, you know, I think one of these, for the price point we're in, the value proposition we're providing on this tablet, either on Android or Windows, is a significant value prop that partners can get around and really build solutions around. So we're like I said, we love all our children because they're all, you know, very, very cool products in unique and different ways. And, you know, for the partners, I think this is just, you know, opportunity everywhere because it allows them to differentiate, add value around these verticals. We're pre-stitching some of this stuff, so it's easier for them to come in and tell the story. The accessories are pre-integrated, so they don't have to take any effort to test them. So, you know, I'm really bullish, and I hope the partners are too. We've been making a big investment in this area, Chris and I both, for the better part of a year. This is our come-out party. 15's big, and we need our partners with us because, as I said before, we're not successful if the partners aren't.
All right. One last one. Just wanted to touch on the Elite Pad a little bit, and a product that's been out there from a family point of view for a couple of years now. And we've seen some jackets. We've seen some expandability. It seems like this is a real expansion of that, and perhaps a sign that family is really starting to come into its own as a part of the play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, the extensibility of the verticals and being able to pre-assemble these things is really great for the partners as well as the customers. And, you know, the thing we've got our eye on is really looking at each of the industries that are out there and what is, you know, with mobility coming, how can we harness mobility in the transformation of the workflow, and how do we take an approach that says you don't just sort of build a device and then run. It's how do you build the device, build the accessories, pre-configure security and management to the best degree possible, you know, do the partnerships with the ISV so the resellers know that ISV and that hardware has been pre-certified together. All those things make it easier for a reseller to actually move towards solution-based selling.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, joining us now is Pete Rozanka, Vice President General Manager of Avnet Cisco Solutions Group in the Americas. Avnet has recently celebrated the 5-year milestone of its partnership with Cisco. Pete, congratulations on that, and thanks for taking the time for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having
me. Oh, no worries. My pleasure. I guess to open it up, just some of your thoughts on reaching the 5-year mark and you know sort of where the relationship with Cisco has been thus far.
Oh, Avnet and Cisco. Though coming into it, Avnet is a data center partner, right? And we focus on the data center. So when we launched the relationship with Cisco 5 years ago, Cisco was getting into the data center with its UCS and Nexus and MDS offerings, and you know they had no market share, they had no presence in the channel, to take a look, to look back 5 years ago and see where we were and then flash forward to where we are today with Cisco's UCS dominance, or I should say blade server dominance in the industry, and Cisco's reliance or specialty in converged infrastructure. It's just amazing, right, Rob, to see how quickly technology changes, you know, how much converged infrastructure existed 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah, it was certainly early days for that, and in many regards there were a lot of, you know, questions about Cisco's ability to execute in the in the server / converged infrastructure marketplace, and here we are 5 years later. As you look back at the last 5 years of the relationship, what do you think have been some of the major accomplishments on Cisco's side and on your side for getting the UCS out into the channel? And, what have been some of the biggest benefits to the channel out of the Avnet-Cisco partnership?
Yeah, I think the relationship and the partnership has really been a give and take on both sides. You know, Cisco is a fantastic company, a huge company, and the networking company in the industry. You know, and when they came out with their data center product, they could have come out with a, you know, this is how we do things and it's going to go, but they really didn't do that. They came to us and they asked us, you know, how do we work together to take this solutions, to bring these solutions out into the industry. And what was really exciting for us is that, you know, we got to sit down with them, we got to talk to them, and they listened to us, you know. And so one of the first things that came out in the early days was Cisco authorizing us to actually build these or integrate the service for them, right? So in today's case, we're able to take a UCS B-series server, and we're able to integrate that to get it out into the channel within 4, 5, 6 working days, which is necessary if you're going to compete in the channel, right? Mm-hmm. Not so necessary when you're delivering routers and switches, but when you're delivering servers into the data center, you got to be able to move fast. So I think that was primarily the first big accomplishment that Cisco and Avnet generated together.
All right, great. Noted that earlier this year you guys took home your third straight Data Center Architecture Distributor of the Year award from Cisco. Obviously, you guys have built quite a deep relationship over the last 5 years.
I think I agree with you. I think it's been a very, very challenging, right, because Cisco's business in the data center has grown dramatically, right? If you look at their blades all today, you know, number one market share leader in the U.S., growing their market share in the world. You know, it's intense. And then from an architecture distributor of the year award, thank you very much, and we're very proud of that. I think part of the whys they give us, why they gave us that, had to do with converged, right? Because when we're building converged, multi-vendor converged integrated systems for Cisco, you know, you have to bring multiple vendors together, and of course, the engineering behind that is driven by the manufacturers, but the integration of that takes place in our Global Solution Center down in Chandler, Arizona. Mm-hmm.
All right, a place that I had a chance to tour a little earlier this year, and you've touched on kind of the integration aspect of the relationship thus far. Can you tell us a little bit about the Cisco specific operations that go on there, and sort of how that side of the business has ramped for you guys, and what benefits you're providing the channel by being able to do that stuff?
Yeah, so you're referring to the Global Solutions Center out down there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we're very, very proud of our Global Solutions Center, right? So from a Cisco specifically, we have within that center, we stock a significant amount of Cisco inventory. But the inventory that we're stocking down there is not finished goods. The inventory that we're stocking down there are modules, right? Chassis, processors, stems, and the like. And what that allows us to do is then when demand comes down on us, we're able to turn around and build those solutions in a hurry, right? That's been what I'm referring to there, Rob, is specifically in the data center with blade servers, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you take it to converged infrastructure, you're able to do the same thing in a bigger scope. You know what I mean? So what I'm talking about there is that when you're building a flex pod or VSpecs or a SAP HANA or soon a VersaStack, you're able to take those solutions and you're able to put those together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, it's been a wild ride. Because right? each time you're doing something like this, it's different, right? It's a new experience, and as you successfully put it together along with Cisco and its storage manufacturers, it's very exciting, and it's that feeling of accomplishment you get when you get something right, you know.
Right on, perfectly. Converged has been such a hot topic this year, and it seems like it's still picking up speed. You guys certainly have been very active in the converged space, and one aspect of that, of course, is the recent announcement of the Cisco and IBM VersaStack solution, and of course you guys were right on board with your support of that. Can you tell us a little bit what you're doing around VersaStack?
Well, it's still early days, right? So I'm sure you've You've seen that the CDB, the Cisco Dell data design has come out and is released now. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to working with Cisco and IBM as we bring that solution to market, right? So Cisco and IBM, I think you know, Rob, they've got a deep relationship. They've worked together for a long time, and I think that this VersaStack solution is just the latest evidence of that, you know?
All right. Perfect.
The other thing I'd like to, you know, I can add to that, Rob, is that, you know, there's a VersaStack is certainly going to be exciting. I think that the FlexPods that Cisco's doing with NetApp also very exciting, as well as the vSpecs that they're doing with EMC, and of course the Cisco and VCE / EMC's vBlocks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice that partners and customers have a number of choices that'll fit in various places depending on their unique infrastructure needs.
Exactly.
sort of wrapping things up a little bit. 5 years into the relationship, and not to get all "what have you done for me lately" on you, but you know, how are you looking at 2015? And where do you see the relationship with Cisco going, you know, into this year?
Yeah, we were talking a little, you know, Cisco has just celebrating its 30 years, mm-hmm. you know, so Avnet has spent 5 years with Cisco, and the Cisco company is now 30 years old, and I gotta tell you, Rob, it feels to me like they're just warming up. You know, as you look forward, you look at things such as their InterCloud, right? You look at ACI and you look at the InterCloud, not just the cloud, but the InterCloud fabric, right? And it is incredible potential as you're looking out there. You talk about Converge, and we talk about Converge a lot, and a great component of the cloud, right, is going to be Converge. So as you're looking forward, you know, what have you done for me lately? And I think the thing that is going to drive us as we move forward is the continual evolution of Converge, mm-hmm. and then taking those solutions into the cloud, because the whole industry is getting a lot faster, getting a lot quicker, getting a lot more efficient, and you're seeing that coming to our end users perspective from a cloud perspective.
All right, great, Pete. Appreciate your taking the time to talk through the fifth anniversary. Congratulations on that once again, and good luck on year six. May the business continue to grow.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to another 5 years, Rob. Take care, and thank you for your time as well. Bye bye.
Perfect. Thank you. Joining us right now is Rick Heibrichs, Vice President of Industry Transformation and All Things Internet of Things for Cisco Canada. Rick, can we just call you the Internet of Everything Czar for Cisco Canada?
I guess you could do that, yes. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure to chat with you. And, you know, it's funny that we're talking about the way that the Internet of Everything story has evolved over the last years, because I remember the first few times we met were in fact talking about long before Internet of Everything had been coined and before Internet of Things had kind of become a top of mind front of the industry kind of term and trend. The two of us would chat about things you were working on in terms of connected buildings and those kinds of things, which has morphed nicely into a much broader story.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, when we spoke, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was all about business outcomes and how do we transform industries with the technology that Cisco and our partners provide. So mm-hmm. it's been always about creating new partnerships, new relationships, looking at industry and business solutions, solving business problems. And we started this back then, specifically in real estate. Mm-hmm. And now this has, in Canada, blossomed to a series of industries, of course. And holistically, it's been almost coined as the internet of everything, where we see people, process, data, and things really become the foundation for industry and business transformation.
Right. And that has, since the time that we've been chatting, at least, that has drawn in certainly new types of partners to Cisco from, you know, the traditional sort of networking VAR/integrator type of role that was a Cisco partner. In those days, it was getting into architectural and some design partners there. But that ecosystem is expanding even further still at this point, isn't it?
So with the Internet of Everything now, we're really looking at opportunities to transform industries across all industries in Canada and in the world. And this really allows us to move our conversation from an IT server room conversation to a boardroom / business conversation. Now we're talking to lines of business, people that come from the business that IT typically supports. And we then also realize that there's only so much we know and only so much we do, and that we have to surround ourselves by a whole new ecosystem of relationships that have those connections and that have historically sold or worked with those lines of business and can really be or have to be a part of delivering business solutions. So we have expanded this in real estate and construction, where we started 7 or 8 years ago, beyond construction companies, architectural firms as they become influencers, and also technology companies like Honeywell and Schneider and Delta Controls that provide now IP-based technologies that really converge very nicely over IT networks. But the relationships have broadened into healthcare, manufacturing, utilities, every other industry, and we're really looking at who are our new route-to-market relationships that we can work with and that our traditional partner ecosystem can work with, because they're still part of this equation. They may just now have different buying centers and different relationships to get to the end game.
Mm-hmm. And that's certainly this year at Partner Summit, the idea of the broadening ecosystem was something that Bruce Klein featured on during his main stage time, and that must have been somewhat edifying for you, who've been focused on at least in part on some of these new types of partners for such a long time. Now, who are the, you know, you mentioned sort of industries, but where are you know, basically what are you looking for in these new ecosystem partners? What makes a good fit for you?
Yeah, I'd say there's kind of three lenses. One is the route to the market, those that have the relationships with the new buying centers, those that build large, complex solutions to solve large, complex problems that where now IT is becoming a part of. This is typically in the operational technology space, where we look at oil and gas and mining and transportation, companies like Schneider and General Electric and Rockwell, that are really becoming master solution integrators, and they start now to look at how to incorporate IP and IT technologies. The second kind of type of partner we very focus on is to call it the route to influence, because there's a lot of consultants out there and systems integrators like Accenture and Deloitte, and also very niche and specialty consultants. Mm-hmm. That have the willing ear of these customers, that really can have a conversation around solving business problems, and that are really the orchestrators of what are all the pieces of the puzzle that need to be brought to the table. And then the third is, call it route to technology, because there are lots of things, if you will, in those industries that now need to get connected. So we're starting to look at how do we roll SCADA systems and DALI systems and all these different standards onto IP networks. That means we have to collaborate and build new relationships with technology providers that are complementary and augmenting our Internet of Everything solutions. So it's a relatively complex ecosystem of new partners and players that we then seek to match up with our traditional resellers that want to be more relevant in the respective industries. So we're almost like matchmakers, if you will, and looking for the ideal combinations of partnerships where we can really penetrate and find new revenue opportunities.
Is there a program or a formula that works, you find, for doing that matchmaker role, or is it kind of a one-off situation where each relationship is different?
Well, we are working on programmatizing this. So there are now IoT partnerships and different mm-hmm. types of certifications and relationships to kind of encourage and stimulate this. It is, though, I believe, very localized. If we think about the oil and gas sector in Alberta or mining in northern Canada, there's some specific companies that may be specifically relevant in specific geographies. They may have already relationships. So it is a very customer or industry type centric approach. But then obviously we are looking, and we all are looking, for the repeatable and the scalable model, so that not every relationship mm-hmm. is the one-off to solve one problem and one solution for one customer, but something that we then can take to the market collectively. So we're looking for the commonalities, the common ground, the repeatable solutions, but very specifically based on the nature of our country, the nature of our opportunities, find the right connection points and provide alternatives. Because our customers may want to have choice in terms of what type of mix or relationships they really want to work with.
All right.
So we're really kind of working through this, and that's why when you heard Bruce Klein and the conversations around our new partnerships and our new ecosystems, that this is a really kind of all hands on deck effort to slowly move our partner and channel organization into absorbing and consuming these new relationships and making those part of our already very strong partner family.
Okay. You certainly touched on the idea of matching up with industry specific partners that are outside of the traditional Cisco domain. But what else have you found works for the traditional Cisco partner, the network integrator, the VAR, the MSP perhaps, to play a role in some of these Internet of Everything opportunities? What are some of the common elements you see that work for these partners to get into the game?
Yeah, I would say some of them actually already are. I mean, we have obviously great value-added resellers that have amazing relationships with their customers and their customer base. Traditionally, we're focused all on we call it carpeted space, right? Traditional
yep.
IT, telephony, networking. But if we look at some of the relationships they have, several of them reach already well beyond just the IT procurement side of our customers. And for a lot of them, it's not necessarily a big stretch to, with IT, go to the line of business and start to speak about business outcomes and solving problems that are relevant to the business of our customers. So we're already seeing that several of our larger, but also the more niche partnerships that we have, or traditional partners that we have, are starting to open these doors, look then at kind of the menu of IoE solutions that we are working on and the additional relationships maybe that we can bring to the table, where they are very capable of orchestrating these new conversations to go into the uncarpeted space or deal with the operational or operation technologies side of our customer base. Now, we think, especially in large industries like manufacturing, mining, oil and gas, this is particularly where the Rockwells and the Schneiders of the world play a very important role, mm-hmm. because IT typically wasn't speaking on that side. But when we look at healthcare or financial services or retail or education, then we see that a lot of our partners actually have much more strategic inroads. All we now need to do is monetize them and take advantage of those relationships as we convert the conversation from features, functionality, and great technology to one of solving business problems.
All right. Great. You mentioned a few different verticals, some of the major ones that one would expect. What are the hottest vertical areas for your business right now, and what do you see as the up-and-comers that maybe haven't quite caught on as far quite yet, but have big potential?
Yeah, so I'll give two answers to that. One is how we're organized and where we put some of our investments and priorities, mm-hmm. Cisco Canada. We have picked five industries and a segment. The industries are financial services, healthcare and education, real estate, and oil and gas. And we believe that those are five critical industries for Canada, including real estate, which traditionally may not seem to be large, but it's typically still the second or third largest economy in any country because of just the volume of construction and real estate.
Right.
Then the segment is the Internet of Things approach, where we really look at industrial networking. And under here, we lump transit, utilities, mining, and oil and gas, where we really believe through these new relationships, we can much faster get into front of OT. When we look at the opportunities of IOE, and we have done these studies that quantify the value we can generate if we combine people, process, data, and things and apply Internet of Everything to solving business problems, worldwide we value that, or we say it's a $19 trillion opportunity. For Canada, it's about $500 billion opportunity. $100 billion of that comes from public sector, $400 billion of that comes from private sector, and the top industries where we see the greatest opportunity to monetize and to turn this into a quantifiable value is in manufacturing, is in oil and gas and mining, and in transportation in Canada. But every industry stands to gain, and their examples and their benefits are different scale and different size. There's other industries like retail that may scale faster or has kind of a broader national footprint, if you will, as opposed to oil and gas, where the opportunities are huge, but they may be limited to some geographic areas. So we want to really start to continue to invest in areas that are relevant to Canada, invest in the areas where we have picked some of those industries because we have seen the impact that we can have there with our partners and with some of the new partners, and then work very closely, obviously, with the rest of Cisco, where we see centers of excellence or industries popping up around the world in different places where there is a significant or specific strength, and that we can then bring the lessons learned from those to Canada. And for this, we launched our Internet of Everything Innovation Center. We announced it last year. We already have one currently in our office, and we will open one in our new office in May of 2015. And that will be one where we're going to co-create solutions to solve real problems with our customers, our partners, new partners and existing partners, but also with startups and academic sectors. So really bring an ecosystem together to solve real problems around the industries that we are today invested in. And then through telepresence and our collaboration technologies, we bring in the innovations that come out of our innovation centers in Rio and in Berlin and in Barcelona and in a handful of other locations all around the world. So we think we're really building this platform of IOE acceleration, and our partner community is kind of an essential, a critical part of this.
All right. Brilliant. Things have clearly come a long way in this this partner ecosystem journey since those first conversations we had about the Alice Dawns of the world a few years ago. But what do you see as the next big step or the next big opportunity? Where does it go from here in terms of the partner ecosystem?
So in most of these industries, we have identified 2 to 5 kind of what we believe are lead partners. And I think we're really now in this fiscal year, call it, accelerating our matchmaking and empowering our traditional resellers to either build their own relationships and incentivize them to do so, or to create the connections between the ecosystems that we have built, the new relationships that we have created, and again, use an innovation center, for instance, as a place to do so. For us, this really is kind of our next wave of scaling mechanism. I think across the industries I talked about, we have very solid examples where really we can show that if we work differently together to solve problems, we can have a much greater impact than we have ever had before. And it's now time for us to take those examples and those best practices and start to scale them and accelerate them. And over the last year and a half, I would say, there's a large number of traditional Cisco partners that really kind of came to the top and have either invested in vertical expertise or are really specifically going after certain industries and solving business problems. We're going to find ourselves wrapping ourselves around them, teaming them with all the right other parts of the ecosystem in an effort to really turn this into a scaling mechanism that we've never seen before.
Perfect. Look forward to seeing that happen. Thanks for taking the time, Rick. It's been a great chat, and look forward to seeing what comes next in the Internet of Everything journey.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Robert.
Well, there you have it. Another packed edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'd like to say thank you to Michael, Chris, Pete, and Rick for joining us on the show today. And, of course, I'd like to thank all of our sponsors, including HP, Avnet, and Cisco, for their support of the site. And, of course, as always, thank you for joining us and listening in. As I mentioned off the top, we'll be kicking off our New Year's series tomorrow, and up first will be a newcomer to the podcast as Anton Gronich of Nutanix Canada joins us to walk through what was a very action-packed 2014 for the hyper-converged infrastructure vendor, provide his thoughts for where the company goes next in 2015. So look forward to that on Friday, but in the meantime, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.